The Gemara in the end of Yuma discusses under what circumstances a chole must eat on Yom Kippur, and then the Mishnayos, their segue into the fact that pikuach nefesh, or even a suffix pikuach nefesh, is docha Shabbos. That's the Mishnah daf Pegimel in Yuma. And then the Gemara on daf Pehe tries to establish how we know that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. We all intuit that. It's obvious that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. The Gemara tries to find a makor, and the Gemara quotes various deus and tanayim as to what the source of this din is, that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. A couple of the suggestions come from this week's Sedra. So one of the drushes that the Gemara has is Rav Shimon ben Nasi on daf Pehei Amud Beis, which you have in the third page of the packet, about 10 lines down from the top. Rav Shimon ben Nasi suggested that the makor is Vishamru b'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, Amr Torah Chalel Alav Shabbos Achas Kadesh Shiyishmor Shabbos as Harbe. And we learn from this pasuk, Vishamru b'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, the Rashash says, it should really say v'chule, because you see from Rashi that the Ikar Drasha is from Lasos, that you should keep Shabbos Lasos. So you see from there, Chalel Alav Shabbos Achas Kadesh Shiyishmor Shabbos as Harbe, that you should be Mechal one Shabbos in order to ensure the possibility of being Mekayim multiple Shabbosos down the road. And then the Gemara quotes the Makar of Shmuel, V'chai behem Elosha Yamas behem, and Amarav Elokul Islu Pircha Bar Min Shmuel, the Lesley Pircha. So the Gemara says the best drasha is v'chai behem doesn't have any pirchas, all the other drashas have pirchas. So it sounds like we paskin like the drasha of v'chai behem, and seemingly that's reflected in the Rambam. If you take a look in Perek Beis of Hilcha Shabbos, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, I'm skipping to the middle of the Halacha, page 4 in the handout, the Asur l'smameya b'chilo Shabbos l'chol sheyesh b'sakana, you're not allowed to delay. Shenemar, Asher yaseh osam hadam v'chai behem v'lo sheyamas behem. So the Rambam quotes that pasuk of Shmuel as a marker for the fact that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. Ha'lamayata she'ein mishmitei haTorah nekama ba'olam alarachmen v'chesed v'shalom ba'olam v'elu ha'pikorsim she'omim shezeh chilo Shabbos v'yaseh aleinu kasev omer. So the Rambam launches a strong attack on people who would have a contrary opinion. Rav Schechter quotes that Dr. Grach has in an article that the Rambam here is coming lafuki the karayim, and that's why the Rambam gives such prominence to the halachas of pikuach nefesh and hilchos Shabbos in Perek Beis. Hey, Perek Aleph for the klali malacha and klali Shabbos. Perek Beis is pikuach nefesh, and then the Rambam goes into malacha. So why does the Rambam give pikuach nefesh so prominent, so much prominence? He might have said, could be, that to emphasize the fact that this is important, even before we get to the details of malachos. But apparently Dr. Grach has an article in which he said the Rambam was coming lafuki the karayim, who were present in the time in Egypt, and they didn't have such a drasha, and they didn't have this notion of pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos. Just got a call in the office today from someone who wanted to know whether their husband, who did a gerus, if it was good gerus. Apparently he was Megayer with the Karaites in San Francisco. That's like the only existing Karaite congregation in America these days. I was under the impression that Karam didn't do gerus at all. But these are conservative Karaites, with a capital C. They have mixed seating, and they even do some Torah Shabbat Pel stuff, so I don't know what they held about Pikuach Nefesh. But anyway, so the Rambam here does quote the pasuk of V'chai Behem. However, Rav Asher points out, as Dr. Lederach just told us, Simin Samach, Minchas Asher in Sefer Shmos, that if you look carefully, there seems to be other indications in Rishonim that the aforementioned Rasha that we started with, as Shabsasai, Vishamru B'nei Yisrael Shabbos, Amr Torah, Chalel, Allah Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Shiyishmor Shabbos as Harbe, is not totally rejected. Some Rishonim seem to quote that as well. The Rambam himself, in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Beis Halacha Daled, where the Rambam discusses the notion of Yesh Koach Biyad Chachamim Laker Davar Ben Atar B'Shev Yal Tasa. There are certain situations in which the Chachamim have the right to be Oker Adin Daraisa Lemigdar Milsa. So the Rambam in that context quotes the following mashal: Kishem Shaharofei Chosech Yado O Raglo Shelzek Kadesh Yichya Kulo. Sometimes a doctor needs to amputate a limb in order to save a life. Kach Bezdin Morim Bizman Min Azmanim V'Lav Or Al Tzas Mitzvah Safisha. So to Bezdin can, under certain circumstances, tell you to dispense with specific mitzvahs, Kedei Sheis Kaimu Kulam, in order to allow for the broader kiyum of Kol HaTorah Kula. Kederach Shamar Chacham HaRishonim Chalel Alav Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos Harbe. So just as there is this notion of being mechal one Shabbos to ensure the proper fulfillment of many Shabbosos down the road. So Rav Asher there in that piece has multiple potential nafkaminos between what drasha is the most prominent drasha. The most famous nafkamina is a din we have in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Kaf, sorry, in Simen Shin Vav, Se'if Yudalid. That's the din, what happens if a person's daughter is abducted by Mumrim, by non-Jews, and is threatened with Shmad, and if you don't save her on Shabbos, to Achil Shabbos, then she may be lost forever. So there, the Beis Yosef has a back and forth. There's a Chuvas HaRashba that is reluctant to be made. The Beis Yosef has a back and forth, and he paskins in the end, and this is the plaque in Shulchan Aruch, that you are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos even on the Araisas in order to save your daughter. That does relate partially to the sug in the beginning of Shabbos, Daf Dalid, of Chatei B'Shvil Shatiska Chavercha. But what's prominent in the Beis Yosef's analysis of this din is the notion of Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Harbe, that by being Mechal Shabbos on a one-time basis, in his formulation, in the context of the notion that the Gemara has in Shabbos Daf Dalid of Chatei B'Shvil Shatiska Chavercha, it's that your Chil Shabbos, even on a Daraisa, is considered an Isser Zut, it's considered a relatively minor transgression relative to all the Shabbosos that the person is potentially going to keep for the rest of her life. So, under those circumstances, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, and the Beis Yosef there invokes the notion of Chalel Shabbos, Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Harbe. So there is some resonance on some level of this drasha, even if the Irka drasha may still be v'chai b'ham. The Mishnah Berurah points out that there halacha simin shin kaf tes on Sif Dalid, that the Irka drasha obviously is v'chai b'ham, because if the Irka drasha was chalel shabbosos harbe, chalel shabbos achas, kedei sheyishmeru shabbosos harbe, then it should come out that you're not allowed to be mechal shabbos for chayishah. Right, let's say the person only has the potential of living another few hours. He's not going to make it until next Shabbos. So you can't say a cheshbon of Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Harbe, because even if you're going to be Chalel Shabbos for the Schala Sheyishmeru Sakana, he's going to die by Tuesday anyway. Nevertheless, it's beferish in the Mishnayos and the Gemaras in the end of Yuma that we are Mechal Shabbos even for Chayishah. So even if you know full well that the guy's not going to make it till next Shabbos, you're still Mechal Shabbos because the Iker reason is V'chai Behem.
Even if he's a Gozis, could he be Mechal Shabbos if he's like, there's no hope?
If he's a Gozis, it could be you're not allowed to touch him because that's going to be Mekar Misasa. But if you can, in a way that you can prolong his life, even a Gozis, you prolong his life. Correct. So the Mishnah Berurah says it must be the Iker Tam is V'chai Behem. People point out, Rav Asher has this in the piece and others, that if you look in the Or HaChaim in this week's Sedra, Or HaChaim sounds very much, pretty much says, that you wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos for someone who's not going to live till next Shabbos. So Rav Asher thinks that that it doesn't really mean that it's Ladafka, and others have different Teirutzim. Whatever the Pshat may be, as a matter of Halacha, it's Beferish in Gemaras and in Shulchan Aruch, that we're Mechal Shabbos even for Chayisha. So let's just briefly discuss a few broad issues that come up within Pikuach Nefesh HaShabbos. We won't be able to flesh them out, but just some of the subtopics that we have. So it says in Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Simen Shin Kaf Ches, which you should have here. We don't have the beginning of the Mishnah Kafes, so you'll trust me on this. It says that's what I told you. But I not your fault, my fault. But in Sif Beis it says we'll get to Yud Beis in a minute. Mishiyesh lecholi shall sakad a mitzvah chal of the Shabbos v'azaris areza meshubach v'yashovel hareza shovich damim. So that's based on a Yerushalmi potentially Trumas Hadeshen. that the person who's mizdare is to be mechal Shabbos for a person who's deathly ill, for a chola sheyesh basakana, so he's meshubach. And v'shaul, if he asks a shayla, harez a shofik damim, or the other lashon of Shabbos is harez a meguna. That if you're asking a shayla, a shayla harez a shofik damim. If you ask a shayla instead of acting, so then you're asking someone to die because you're not acting quickly enough. Don't ask shaylas. And the other lashon of Shabbos Hadeshin is hanishal harez a meguna. That the person who's asked the shayla is meguna. Why is the person who's asked the shayla meguna? Because he didn't teach the Baal Batim that pikuach nefesh is ochas Shabbos, and you have to be able to act at a moment's notice and know that you don't ask shaylas, that you do what needs to be done. Fine. The Gemara has here in Yuma Daf Pedalet on the Beis, which you should have back at the beginning of the pamphlet. It's about 5 or 6 long lines down. The Gemara says, "Ve'enos in dvarim halalu lo ayidei nachrim lo ayidei kusim, el al yidei gedol yisal." When you have to be mechal Shabbos for chol sheish v'sakana, so you don't do it with an anger, you don't do it with a. The Gaon's gear says ayidei ketanim, which is most Rishonim have, el ayidei gedol yisal. So. Pashtus says Gedol Yisrael means Gedolim is supposed to Ketanim, doesn't mean the Gadol Ador. And the Rambam, there's Machlokas among the Mefarshei Rambam, where the Rambam does mean Gedol Ador. But the Gemara is saying that you don't use Nachrim, you don't use Ketanim, you use Gedolim. Why don't you use Nachrim? So Tosfos says here on the top, Hedalim Nebeis, Ela B'Gedol Yisrael, V'afilu Hecha De'efshar B'Nachrim Mitzvah B'Yisrael, even if it's possible to use a Nanju, the Nanju is there, ready to go. So we're concerned if you're going to rely on the Nachri, maybe he won't be as zaris as you would be, maybe he'll be a little bit lazy, and then there could be some sakana for the person who's deathly ill and needs to be treated with alacrity, with as much as rizus as possible. So Tosfos seems to allow for the possibility that in theory, if you were able to get rid of the atzlus concern, that you could have a situation where you would tell the Nachri to do it because you're not worried that he's going to be lazy. So that more extreme formulation you have in the Riaz and the Shilta Giborim, you have in the Raviyah. The Raviyah is a Girsa of Afilu Al Yidei Gedol Yisrael. So you don't dafka have to use Gedolim, but you're allowed to use Gedolim. So he understood that if the Nachri is not around, if there's no Nanju around, so then don't go looking for a Nanju, do it yourself. If the Nanju's there, so ask him, as long as there's no legitimate concern that he's going to be lazy. But most of the Rishonim understand that it's Dafka, Al Yidei Gedol Yisrael, even if you have a Nachri around, either because we're always concerned that he may be Misatzel, or because we're worried, as the Rush has another Rishonim, that this time you have a Nachri here who's ready and able. But if you're going to ask the Nachri, so people are going to see, and they're going to think, oh, when it comes to Chil Shabbos, you have to go look for a Nachri. And next time, the Nachri won't be there, and you're going to lose precious time by going to look for the Nachri. So that's a Machlokas Mechaber Ramah. This is what you do have in the pamphlet in front of you. Simen Shin Kav Ches, Seif Yud Beis. So the Mechaber Paskins, Kishe Mechal in Shabbos, Al Chol Sheish Basakana, Mishtadin Shelo Lasas Ayidei Enam Yehudim Ketanim Minashim. You Lechachila, do not use Nachrim Kitanim. Nachrim is based on Girsas HaRambam, which is potentially a different read of the Gemara, which we don't have time to look at now. Elai de Yisrael Gedolim Ibnei Das. So the Mechaber says, Yilichachila Dafka, do not use Gedolim. Yilichachila, do not use Nachrim or Kitanim. You use Yisrael Gedolim. And the Ramah says, V'yeshomrim, Dim Efshar Lasas Lo Dichoi Velo Icho Ayidei Shinoi Osa Ayidei Shinoi. So if you're able to do the Malach Ayidei Shinoi without any delay, so better to do Ayidei Shinoi, to knock it down to a Derabanan. Vim Efshar Lasas Ayidei Eino Yehudi Velo Icho Klal. And similarly, if you can do it Ayidei Goy, and that's not going to lead to any time delay, Osan Ayidei Eino Yehudi. So then you're allowed to do it Ayidei, or you should do it Ayidei Nachri. V'cheino again, aval b'makom the yishlachu she'is atzel eino yehudi ein lasas ayidei eino yehudi. So Evan agrees that if there's going to be any time delay, so you don't think twice, and the Yisrael does it, the Gadol doesn't. If there's not going to be any time lost by using a nachri, so that seems to be machlokas mechaber ma, whether you're even allowed to, whether you should, dafka use a nachri if there's not going to be any time delay involved in doing so. The Taz is mefakpek on the Psaka, the Ramah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Taz. The Yerucha Shochan is supportive of the Taz, and the Taz thinks that lahalacha, even if there's not going to be any delay, because of some of the considerations we mentioned before, you should dafka use a Yisrael, even if a Nachri is accessible. Fine. So let's talk for a few minutes about an issue that Dr. Lederach and I were discussing over the last couple of weeks, which is the following. One of the not uncommon situations that could come up in Shabbos is where there's a need or a person has a wound that may require stitching, or that during the week you would get stitches for that wound. So the general approach should be that if there's a concern about infection, which potentially could be sakanas tefasha, so that would be considered a kind of chol sheyesh basakana that you can be mechal Shabbos for, even with the raisas. If there's no concern of infection, so at first glance there shouldn't be grounds to be mechal Shabbos, definitely not with the raisas, and we'd have to talk about the rabbanans. So Rav Shlomo Zalman has the following two tshuvos that are noteworthy on this topic. So number one, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva which is printed in Minchas Shlomo Chelik Beis Simin Lamed Hei Os Beis, Minchas Shlomo Chelik Beis Simin Lamed Hei Os Beis, in which he writes the following situation. There's a young lady who has a wound with a deep cut in her face, but it's not a Chol HaSheish B'Sakana. There's no concern of infection, and there's no concern about her life. However, if you're not going to stitch the wound on Shabbos, then she's going to be left with a permanent scar, which is going to make her eligibility for shiduchim more difficult, and that could potentially lead to depression in the future. So what are you allowed to do to help this young lady on Shabbos? So Shlomo Zalman writes, you're not allowed to violate an Isser Torah, because there's definitely no sakana involved. However, he thinks he would be allowed to have a Nachri do the stitching, because that is, even if the stitching would be considered a Melacha D'Oraisa, this is how Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoting Shmir Shabbos, is explaining it. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Perek Lamed Ches Ha'ara Kafei, Perek Lamed Ches Ha'ara Kafei, that even even if, as Rav Shlomo Zalman is inclined to believe, stitching on Shabbos is a Melacha D'Oraisa, nevertheless, if it's to prevent a permanent scar in the face that's going to have repercussions down the road, so that would be analogous to a sudden hefsed gadol. Under certain circumstances, when it comes to a sudden hefsed gadol, then amir la'akav would be mutter. So you could have a non-Jew perform the stitches on Shabbos, because that's only a amir la'akav, even from lacha d'oraisa, v'malkum hefsed gadol. So that's Rav Shlomo Zalman's analysis. Under these circumstances, if there's no concern of infection, if you're not going to stitch it on Shabbos, so the only grounds to do so is because of the scar, which may be considered a hefsed gadol and would allow a mir la'akum. But to do it al yidei Yisrael would be usur. That's tshuva number one. Tshuva number two, continuation of that tshuva, is let's say you have a situation where there is a sakana element. There is a concern that if the wound is not stitched, it may lead to infection. However, in order to avoid the risk of infection, it would be sufficient to have, let's say, 5 stitches. But if you're going to only use 5 stitches, then there's going to be a significant scar. But if you're going to put in 10 stitches, then it won't scar so badly. So are you allowed to do the extra stitches in order to avoid the scarring, even though the extra stitches are not in any way necessary medically? So Rav Shlomo Zalman raises that question, and he has a phenomenal kula. He thinks that you're allowed to do the extra stitches. Why? So number one, he compares it to tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin in mila. The mila we know is docha Shabbos. You can perform a bris mila bismano on Shabbos, and the din is that when you do the mila, not only are you allowed to cut the tzitzin ha'ma'akvin, but you're even allowed to cut the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin. If you finish the Maisa Mila, so then you're not allowed to be chozer for the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, that's only hider mitzvah. But when you're involved in the initial act of Mila, so you're allowed to cut the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin as well, because that's part of the whole process. Rav Shlomo Zalman, by analogy, says that here also, once you're oseg in the allowed pikuach nefesh, so then that's considered like low pirish. It's analogous to tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, even though here it's not a mitzvah like bris mila is a mitzvah. So he says maybe that would be grounds to permit the additional stitches.
Well, that means Shabbos is Hutra versus Dechuya?
So he says this is independent of Hutra or Dechuya. I deliberately have not raised Hutra or Dechuya because that would be at least another half hour to get started there. I think as a practical matter, there are very limited nafkaminas, if any. There may be some limited nafkaminas on Hutra or Dechuya. It's more of a conceptual machlokas than a practical machlokas, even though many achronim are tola significant machlokas, like the Mechaber Ramah we just said about Ayidei Nachri on Hutra or Dechuya. In most situations, I don't think that's muchrach. But that's that we don't have time to get into now. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman thinks it's independent of Hutra Dechuya. So he thinks that that would be permissible for that reason. Betzirah, some other factors, which I'm not going to dwell on now, and the fact that you can maybe rely as a sniff on those who hold that stitches is drabbat, and even though Rosh Shlomo Zalman firmly believes, at least is choshesh, that stitches on Shabbos is a din d'oraisa. So
that analogy to tzitzimim, Shem Akvin,
right,
sort of doesn't really hold up. If you really hold dechuya,
right,
so you would try to do as little as possible. You wouldn't try to do.
But it could be that mila is also dechuya, and there's still a din d'oraisa in Shem Akvin. So that's why it's not bechreich. You can work things out in any direction. It may be a little bit more challenging, require a little more analysis, but it could work out. It's not bechreif tali on that. So other chonim or cholakim or shalom azam, and it's that's a chiddush. But let's assume. Let's assume shalom azamin's hanacha on the first point, that you'd be allowed to violate Amir La'akam, and this seems to be muskam enough, you could violate Amir La'akam and you couldn't do Malacha Deraisa yourself in a situation where there's no medical need. So what Dr. Lederach pointed out is that most situations of wounds that would typically require stitches are not in any real risk of infection, and under most circumstances, such stitches could be avoided or delayed until after Shabbos. So if that is the case, then you would have to analyze under what circumstances you'd be able to perform stitches Ayidei Nachri on Shabbos. If stitches are Daraisa, so then the only way out would be Ayidei Nachri if there's a cosmetic concern. Let's say you assume that stitches are Darabanan. So then, are there any circumstances in which, if there's no danger of infection, you could do it Ayidei Yisrael? So a hypothetical argument would be along the lines of the following, which is itself a chiddush, and that is in Rav Nevensal's notes on the Mishnah Brura, he quotes the following. This is Ke'ein, what we quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman, that let's say he's talking about a young lady who has some dermatological condition on her face, which is affecting shidduchim, and the only way to treat it is to take medicine that if you don't take it on Shabbos, so then the whole treatment is going to be ineffective. So are you allowed to violate the gzeira of shikas samaman and the yisra derabanan, the gzeira derabanan of taking medicine on Shabbos? So Rav Nevensal argues that in that situation where there's this concern about her appearance, it may be considered like Sakana Sefer. Sakana Sefer, you're even allowed to do, under certain circumstances, a Malacha Yidei Yisrael B'Shinoi. So if you make that argument over here, so if you're going to argue that the facial scar is Ke'ein, Sakanas Eiver, if you're going to have it and not treat it, and if you're not going to stitch it on Shabbos, then there's going to be a permanent scar. So could you argue along those lines that even Ayidei Yisrael, if stitches only a Malacha Derabanan, maybe that would be permissible? But that's not so pasha that you have the right to assume that it's only a Malacha Derabanan. Shlomo Zalman in another tshuva, not printed in his own collection, but in someone else's tshuva that he wrote to a Mechaber V'Sefer that's printed in that Sefer, Shlomo Zalman says that when it comes to, in this context, when it comes to analyzing what the level of sakana is and the level of concern for infection, so let's say the majority of doctors assume that there's no risk of infection, And there's a minority of doctors that assume that there is a risk of infection. So because the klal is that ein hochem b'pikuach nefesh acharov, you don't have the right to rely on majority when it comes to a situation of potential sakanas nefashos, and even by a suffix sakanas nefashos, that's b'chal Shabbos. So even if it's a minority opinion among doctors, you have to be choshish for that minority opinion. And then if those doctors would say that if you don't stitch on Shabbos, there's a potential danger of infection, then you'd have to stitch on Shabbos. That's what emerges from that suggestion of Shlomo Zalman. Now, you have to figure out what's considered a minority opinion among doctors and what doctors are entitled to an opinion. I don't know how to evaluate that. But potentially, this is something that would require further study as to what the actual risk factor is for not performing stitches on Shabbos. And under what circumstances it would ever be mutter ayidei Yisrael, and then under what circumstances it should be done ayidei Akum. But that's something that may require further analysis.
What about if there's no risk of infection, but he's in tremendous pain? He has a wound, he's in tremendous pain, there's no risk of infection.
If he's in tremendous pain, so that's presumably no more than a chola she'ein bo sakana. A chola she'ein bo sakana, you're allowed to perform malacha ayidei akum. So you could have a non-Jew treat this person, but you wouldn't be able to perform malachas deraisa yourself.
Mm-hmm. Why sakana saver with a shinui? Why not without a shinui?
Because that's not a chola she'yesh v'sakana. The machlokas we showed him 4 days in Shulchan Aruch where exactly sakana saver fits in. So the sakana saver is basically a chola she'ein bo sakana where there's no danger to life. It's just extreme discomfort and a bedridden type of illness, but it may be a notch above in which there may be an allowance to perform malacha even ayidei Yisrael b'shina.
Other than
Sakana Seinayim,
right?
Sakana Seinayim is considered Chalash Yesh Basakana. Right.
Right,
because
right,
we want
to remember the Zohar. And a Deliba.
Right. Okay, I think we're out of time. So, much more to talk about.
How does one determine Suffolk in general? So you gave him a couple of stitches.
Right, so that's Rav Asher's piece in this week's email, that you don't go by statistics because halacha doesn't recognize statistics. So it's not clear. That's the question I raised. How do you figure out what's a what's the majority, what's the minority, what doctors have a right to an opinion?
Sometimes the question to the Rav is not is not a halachic question. It's a factual question.
Like, but then that's the question for the doctor, not for the Rav.
But right. But if what if you don't have a doctor in your shul, right? What do you do?
Right. If you don't have a doctor in the shul?
So
if you have a suffix, then you're in Chal Shabbos. You're at any time. Any chisar in Yediyah, you don't know whether it is or not, so then you have to be machmer and pikuach nefesh.
Right.
But what about a case of a facial wound? Right, so you have a facial wound, so it can sometimes not be life-threatening.